Vayelech, Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 30. It's a very short portion this week, just one chapter, which is slightly unusual. Usually the Torah portions are multi-chapter. The Haftarah is a combination of the prophets, Hosea 14, 2 through 10, Micah 7, 18, and Joel chapter 2, verses 15 to 27. Now, we are getting close to the end. This is the 52nd weekly portion in our annual cycle of reading through the Torah scroll. And we are in the days of awe, the 10 days of awe. So this is a special time. We had the new year. We had Rosh Hashanah services last week, which were wonderful. We've got the next holiday, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, coming up. We'll have services here Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. And so we're going through the holidays. We're getting closer to Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah, that time where we can roll the scroll back to the book of Genesis. And as we start off this morning at the end of Deuteronomy, I want to read our first verses are going to be Deuteronomy 31, 1 and 2. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. Now, this was the end of Moses' time to lead the people, and that's a whole other story about why he wasn't going in. But, you know, I think one of the reasons was Moses had a purpose. Moses had a plan. Moses had a calling, and he fulfilled that calling unto the Lord. And then there was a young person or another person, Joshua, who's supposed to take up the mantle and lead the people in to the promised land. And then we read all about that, obviously, in the book of Joshua, the next book in the Bible. But the name of this portion, Vayelech, comes from these words, and it actually means, and he went. It's referring to Moses. It's referring to the fact that he's giving this speech before he dies to go in. Now, what happens in this short Torah portion, one chapter, is there's a lot of prophetic elements, and there's actually some grave prophetic elements, some not so good prophetic words in this portion. Words about how Israel, the people, the nation of Israel, would ultimately not follow the Lord and walk in his ways in the future. This is a prophetic look. Moses, God through Moses, is speaking prophetically to the people and saying, I'm giving you all these laws, I'm giving you all these statutes and stipulations and instructions, what to do and what not to do. And you know, God knows the heart. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knew their hearts. He knew they were going to go in and their hearts would turn away from the Lord in many ways. So he's prophetically showing and saying that about how Israel would ultimately not follow the Lord. And there's some really harsh things that are going on in here. He's talking about exile. He's talking about scattering them out of the land. Remember, the land is a symbol. It's a physical thing, but it's also a spiritual thing. The land is a symbol of blessing. Being in the land is a blessing. Being out of the land is the opposite of blessing, a curse to the people of Israel. The land that was prophesied to them, the promised land, is a land of promise, but it's a land of blessing. And for them to be kicked out of the land, even temporarily, is not a good thing. It's a curse. But God, also in this Torah portion, doesn't just leave it there. He gives us several words, not of a grave picture of what they're not going to do, but he also gives us a beautiful picture of encouragement. And that's what I want to focus on today. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on out there in the world. There's this little hurricane that happened this week, and we're praying for the people in Carolinas and Virginia. We're praying for safety. We're praying for comfort. We're praying for quick recovery for them. There's a lot of things happening, and we all need encouragement. Okay, we all need to be encouraged, to be told how loved we are, how cherished we are, how blessed we are in the Lord. And today is a day of encouragement. And this Torah portion, I believe, ultimately speaks of encouragement to us to follow after God and the blessings that result from following after God. And we're going to talk about that today. So today, as we go through the text, I want to highlight some of these areas. Because it's not just one little piece of encouragement. God, in many ways, is encouraging the people. Many things that he's saying, many things that he's doing, or saying what he's going to do. And it was an encouragement to the people, and it's going to be an encouragement to us, I believe, today even. So let's just go through. Starting with verse 3, let's continue on. Deuteronomy 31, verse 3. As we go through this portion, just want you to hear these words of encouragement. I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to take this in and let this encourage you deeply today. Deuteronomy 31, 3. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy those nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. So the first encouragement we see in the portion is that God will do what? God will go before them. He's not just kind of pushing them in the land and saying, there you go. Deal with whatever you find in there. There you go. He's going to go before them. You know, in our modern world, with all the technology that we have, with all the things going on, we have special strategies when we go to war, don't we? We have special strategies for battle, strategies if we go to war. I remember it just seems like a few years ago, but it was almost, I guess it was almost 30 years ago, the first Gulf War. Does anybody remember the first Gulf War? And it was just amazing to see technologically what they could do. And then, of course, the next Gulf War about, you know, 10 years later or so, 12 years later. And it was amazing all the things that they were doing. They were sending, like, unmanned things. They didn't even have to have ground troops for very long. They were targeting things through radars and all this technical stuff I know nothing about, right? And they were using drones and different things. It's amazing the technology, and it's amazing the opportunities that nations have when they go to battle, when they go to war. There's all these strategies. And you know what happens is the leaders, the generals, the admirals, the whoever they are, these people that are actually coordinating all of this, it's like, you know, when kids sit behind a console and are playing a video game, right? And you're just sitting there, you're just kind of hanging out, kicking their feet up, maybe eating some popcorn, and playing a video game, and then stuff is happening on the screens and everything. And that's how these leaders are. In fact, they're just instructing the video game players in front of them from some command bunker or from some place back in their home country. The point is, these generals, these leaders, they're not right there in the battle. They're not leading people in the battle. Remember, God says here, I'm going to lead you in the battle. But what's interesting is today, with all the technology, you've got these leaders that are just kind of sitting back and orchestrating everything. And it's really kind of cool to see it, how the technology can furnish that. But everything is done remotely. We don't get the perspective of the leaders actually fighting anymore. They're instructing the people who fight. But see, this is not how wars were fought in before the last century, really, before the last X number of years, handful of years. Before then, from the beginning of time until just recently, in the ancient world and even through the modern world, wars were fought with leaders who would go into battle with the troops. It was very much hand-to-hand combat. It was the leaders in there too. I mean, if you watch like Braveheart and all these movies, you see the leaders right in there with the troops. King David's a great example of this, right? When they went to battle, what happened? King David was like, come on, people, hurry up. And he was like running in there. He was running ahead. He was leading the charge. He was the first one to suit up and go to battle to show them an example, right? That's how war was. That's how battles were fought throughout the centuries. Going into battle in front of their troops, the leaders would do this. And this is how God is describing himself in this passage. See, I think we need to hearken back and understand how it was done to understand what God is saying today. He wasn't just kind of kicking back and, okay, everything's running fine. The drone is working well. Everything's going okay. He was you could see the picture of God running ahead of the people as an example, as the first charge, as the one to lead them, to truly lead them into battle. I will go before you. There's also the idea that God is actually fighting the battle for them. That's what the passage is conveying to us. And at the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, God is describing in many ways how he will lead them through the wilderness. Because remember, Deuteronomy is a repetition of the law. Deuteronomy is basically going back and relaying what has happened the last 40 years in the previous books again. Okay? And so what's happening is God's going back to the beginning when he's talking here. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30. Now, he's describing how he will lead them through the wilderness in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire in this passage. And in that same passage, in the first chapter of Deuteronomy, this is the battle imagery that God uses. Deuteronomy 1:30. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And even more, we see, if you turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, I'll give you a minute to turn there because that's not a book we turn to all the time. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 7 and 8. You know, God is a leader. God is an example to us. God is not going to have us go in without going in with us or going in before us. And he's continually saying over and over, Israel, I'm going to lead you. You don't have to lead yourselves. You don't have to figure it out. I'm going to lead you into battle. I'm going to lead you into the unknown. 2 Chronicles 32, 7 and 8, a great example here. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria. Now, let me stop there for a second. This was at the time that Assyria, the great powerhouse in the world, the superpower, was coming. They were coming to attack Israel. Remember, Assyria was the kingdom that actually took the ten tribes, the northern tribes, into exile, which they never returned from. We think of, oh, Assyria. Well, Assyria was an immensely powerful nation at this time. Let me start again. 2 Chronicles 32, 7 and 8. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him. And you can just imagine the horde that comes, right, with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. I can just picture Hezekiah. And to me, I don't know about you, but Hezekiah looks like Mel Gibson to me, right? And Mel Gibson's got the paint, you know, the famous scene in Braveheart, right? Where he's like getting the troops charged up for battle. And what does a good leader do? He gets them to believe in the cause, to believe in the vision. And Braveheart was doing that. William Wallace was doing that. King Hezekiah was doing that. You know what? Our God is doing that for you and me today. He is getting us to believe and catch that vision that he is going to go before us. That's an encouragement for you and me. We don't have to worry about going before. God's going to go before us. And you know what? Over and over, the Lord tells Israel this, that he will go before them, that he will fight their battles. You know what they just need to do? Show up. They just need to show up. I love that passage. I don't have time to go there. But when Jehoshaphat, the other king, one of the other kings of Israel, he just says, basically, we're here, and he trusts in the Lord, and they don't even have to fight the battle, and there's victory. See, this is the thing with our God. We don't even have to fight the battle, and there's victory. You know where the battle is for us? It's in our minds. You have to fight the battle against depression, against fear, against whatever it is that is seemingly coming before you, that horde coming before you. But you know what? Our God is bigger than that arm of flesh. That's what we have to remember. That's the encouragement we need to have. And God, you know what? He says things over and over again. We just need to show up and watch the Lord do it. Well, let's continue on. Turn back to Deuteronomy 31. If that wasn't enough, God goes on with his encouragement to us. You know what? This is powerful. This is encouraging for us today. Deuteronomy 31, 6. There's those words again. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread for them. For it is the Lord your God who goes before you or goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Now listen. If you want a Bible verse to type out or to print out or to write out or whatever, to put on a little sticky note and put somewhere in your life, this is the verse to do it. Okay? This is the verse to do it. This is all the encouragement you and I need. I'm going to say it again. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. That is a powerful word of encouragement. God is going before them. The Lord will fight for them. Therefore, be strong. Therefore, be courageous. It's already done, so we can be strong and courageous. Now, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again because it is so powerful. In Scripture, when things are repeated, we need to take special note of it, right? When God says things more than once, there's a reason he says things more than once. You know, when I as a parent have to tell my child something more than once, my child should take note because I'm emphasizing it for a reason, because I want them to do or, you know, handle something, whatever it might be. When your boss at work tells you something more than once, you should listen to them and do it, right? Because they're your boss. When the Lord says something to us more than once, we need to listen. We need to take heed. We need to put our listening, you know, caps on. You know, the whole thing about God gave us two ears and one mouth so we could listen twice as much as we talk, right? It's very true. But when in Scripture, when things are repeated, we should take special note of them. And God is clearly making a point here. You know, he doesn't say be strong and courageous once. And you know what? He doesn't say be strong and courageous twice. In this passage, just in this Torah portion, he says it three different times. Three different times. He wants Israel to know that there is nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. And here's the thing. Israel is on the verge of going into the promised land. They really don't have any idea what's over the threshold. They have no idea what's in the land. They have no idea if they're going to encounter the giants that they spoke of 40 years ago, right? I'm sure the children, remember, the parents died out in the wilderness. And the reason that generation died out was because the spies gave a bad report. 10 of the 12 spies. You know, the two that didn't, they're the only ones still alive today. Caleb and Joshua. Caleb's the guy that's running in the front and going up to the hill country and taking, you know, people out and claiming his land. And it talks about him in his 80s with the strength of a young man. And Joshua's the guy leading the people. So we can see what happens in the blessings in our lives when we follow God, even when it doesn't seem right. But you know what happened to the other 10 spies? And you know what happened to the other 2+ million people, the adults? They died out in the wilderness. Why? Because of their lack of faith and trust in the Lord. Because they chose to trust their fear over their God. We have the same choice today. Are we going to choose fear or are we going to choose God? Are we going to choose to be fearful about things in our lives, or we choose to be strong and courageous because God has fought the battle for you? Because God has already won the battle for you. We need to not be afraid. And God says it multiple times to us. Don't fear. Be strong. But you know what? There's even more than that. If we look at other scriptures, we could see this correlation. Turn with me to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So what all this says is, don't fear and be strong. Don't give in to fear, but do the opposite. Be strong. But even more than that, it's not, you know, when you tell people, oh, just be strong. Well, that's hard to do, right? How do I be strong? Well, here's the thing. You don't have to worry about finding the strength in yourself. The Lord is going to be your strength. The Lord is the stronghold of my life, is what it says. You're not the stronghold of your life. God's not just saying, you know what? Suck it up and be strong. He's saying, take on my strength. I'm your strength. You don't need to worry about if you're not strong enough to do anything. You just got to trust me. You just got to believe in me. You just got to know that I'm fighting the battle for you, and I am more than that. I'm your strength. The Lord himself should be the person we put our trust in and not ourselves, right? Psalm 31. Turn a few psalms ahead. Psalm 31, verse 24. Again, God is repeating things over and over to us. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Okay? If he's saying it this much to us, shouldn't we take it, you know, take note and pay attention? Now, in our lives today, in your life and my life, there are all these wars going on, and there's rumors of wars. It's said that this last century, you know, the one that most of us were still alive in, you know, the 20th century, was the bloodiest century of all. Now, that doesn't seem right, right? Because it was technologically great, and, you know, we're all civilized now, and nations are, you know, not as warlike as they used to be. Well, no, it was the bloodiest nation. Think of all the bloodshed that happened this past century. There's wars, there's even rumors of wars, and there's real issues going on in our lives. And you know what? It can be fearful. Things like that are scary. We may be like the children of Israel, ready to go into this new land. Maybe there's a new land for you coming up. Maybe there's a new job. Maybe there's a new city. Maybe there's a new beginning about something, a new relationship, whatever it is. You need to approach it, whatever it is in your life, knowing that even though you're going in blind and not knowing what's there, God is going before you, just like the children of Israel. See, we can learn a lot from this. We can learn a lot from this portion. They didn't know what to expect when they went in the land, but they knew to trust in the Lord, and he was going to get them through it. He was going to be their strength. He was going to fight the battle for them. Whatever it is, Adonai will go before you, and Adonai will fight for you, with you, and on your, he's on our side. Now, there's one more thing in this Torah portion verse. The end of Deuteronomy 31:6 says, he will not leave you or forsake you. We don't have to worry that God will suddenly change his mind. We don't have to worry that we're going along with the Lord. He's before us. Got it. Don't fear. He's with us. Blah, blah, blah. And then we screw up, right? Because we all screw up all the time, don't we? We make mistakes. We constantly make mistakes in our lives. We don't have to fear that, oh, I've made one too many mistakes. He's now going to leave me and forsake me. Because God specifically tells us, don't worry about that. You don't need to worry that I'm going to leave you if you mess up too much, so to speak. You can't mess up enough. You just got to pick yourself back up. You've got to get back in the battle with me, is what he is saying. And he is saying very clearly, and he repeats this throughout Scripture, I will not leave you or forsake you. You don't have to worry that God's going to change his mind about you. He loves us. He wants to encourage us today. And this is a promise. It's a promise that's repeated throughout Scripture, including in the book of Hebrews, which is a wonderful verse about how God will not leave us or forsake us. Now, all of that is, that's fun for me to say as a rabbi, right? That's fun to tell you all the things you need to do. I got to listen to for myself as well. But here's the thing. Talk is fairly cheap, right? How do we put it into practice in our lives? How do we get it into our hearts? How do we get it into our minds? How do we start doing it? You know, so many people can quote the Bible, but they don't believe a word of it. You got to be able to quote the Bible, believe it, and do it. This is where our part comes in here. Now, God had a system that he set up, and he outlines it in this Torah portion. I want you to see how this is so cool today in this Torah portion. One chapter. I first started the Torah portion, and I said, one chapter, uh-oh. Am I going to be able to find enough material here? What's going on? Usually I have 3 or 4 chapters to work with. Oh, I can look at this thing. God can show me this thing. I said, what am I going to talk about, Lord? So I opened it up, and I started thinking. And the Lord brought it to my mind, encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. But you have to be able to do something with it. You have to be able to put it into practice. Well, this is really going to help us. And this is in the portion. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 31, 10 through 13. God even set up a system in the Torah portion to make sure that we get this, that we get this. And Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, at the Feast of Booths. Now that's Sukkot. That's coming up for us. The Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 11, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God, at the place that he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful to do all the words of this Torah, this law. Verse 13, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. Okay. Every 7 years, Israel was to gather and read the word. It's not enough to just read the word once and, okay, I'm good to go. Don't fear. Be strong, courageous. He's not going to leave me. Okay, great. I got it. I'm going to move on and go live my life. Okay? That's great, but you've got to constantly re-feed yourself the word of God. You've got to read and reread the word of God because we have short attention spans. We have short memories. Okay? I could be all charged up today at synagogue here with you guys, and then I could go home, and one little thing happens in my life, and I'm down in the dumps, and I'm just, oh, Lord, where are you? You know, you've got to pick up the word. You've got to read it. You've got to get it into you. And this is what God is saying. He said, don't just forget this. I'm spending all this time before I die. Moses is saying this. I'm spending all this time. I've spent all this time with you. I've given you the word, but you know what? You need to read it again. You need to get together and read it again. You need to make this a recurring thing because you're going to forget. You're going to lose it. You're not going to retain it all. I wish I was somebody that had a photographic memory. I would have done much better in school. But I'm not. So I have a hard time retaining things. So I have to constantly, you know, I'm sure several of you are like me in that. Every 7 years, Israel was to read, gather, and read the word so that they would hear it, that they would know it, and then why? So that they would learn to fear the Lord. That's what it says. This is so important because if you don't hear the words, how are you going to follow them? How many of you can remember what happened, you know, just even a year ago? I can't even remember what I did a year ago or what somebody said to me or what happened or whatever. I've got to constantly be going back and reading. God has given us the instructions, you and me, the Bible, and he hasn't left us out to figure it out ourselves. Israel was to hear, and then they were to do the words of the Bible. Now, we as followers of Yeshua are to hear and to do. But what we need to hear and be ready to do is whatever the word says, okay? So it's one thing to hear it once. You got to keep reading it, reading and reading it. But the point is not just to read it just so you can say, well, I've read through the Bible 20 times, or I read my Bible every day, or I love to read the Bible. Okay, that's great. But you got to be able to get it inside. You could read it all day long, and it could just ping right off of you. You know what I mean? Like I said, people memorize the Bible. Scholars know the Bible inside and out, but they don't practice it. They don't believe it. They don't do it. You got to read it. You got to retain it, and you got to live it out. This is the point. God wanted them to go get together periodically, read the word so that they would what? Learn to fear the Lord your God and be careful to do all the words of the law. That's verse 12. That's what the point of reading it is. Not so we can say, oh, I've read the word or I've done my part. I can check that off, you know, my activities. Psalm 119, 105. Turn with me to Psalm 119. I'm going to give you a little time to get there because it's the 105th verse. It's like Aleph, Bet, Gimel. You know, there's a bunch of scriptures for each of the Hebrew letters. And this is way down there. Psalm 119, 105. But then when you go there, you're going to see what I mean. You'll all know it. It's all, everybody should know this scripture. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The problem is when we know scripture and we can just recall scripture, sometimes it loses its potent nature of what it is. So I want you to really think and meditate on that. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many of you have been in like darkness in the morning when you get up? And I mean, for me now, it's like the cell phone's right there, right? That's my flashlight. I turn it on, I know where I'm going. But sometimes, oh, I left my cell phone downstairs and I'm stumbling, I'm tripping over this. And your word is a lamp to my feet. It's like that iPhone light, right? But doesn't sound so good to say the iPhone light is a lamp to my feet. The word is a lamp to my feet, okay? And a light to my path. The idea is we're walking around in this world in darkness, and the only thing that's going to provide that light is the word of God. Okay? It's not going to be fill in the blank. It's not going to be your friends and your family and your job and your material possessions and the TV and this and that and traveling and all this stuff. It's going to be the word of God as a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. The Bible is categorized as this like flashlight to us. It lights up the darkness. The Word of God tells us and shows us how to act, how to think, how to be. We don't have to figure it out on our own, like I've said before. It tells us how to treat our neighbors. It tells us how to love him. You know, if the Lord left to me how to treat my neighbors, I would not love my neighbors as myself. Okay? I'm sure you wouldn't either. But you know, the Word tells me to love my neighbors as myself. That's my lamp in my light. Okay? We may think that we have the lamp and light in us. Oh, I've got logic, or I've got education, or I've got this, I've got enlightenment, or whatever. That's not a lamp and a light. The Word of God is a lamp and a light. Do not trust your lamp and your light. Do not trust your flashlight. Do not trust your heart, because it will lead you astray every single time. Don't listen to people when they say follow your heart. It's unbiblical. The heart is deceitful above all things. But you know what? God's heart isn't. His lamp and his light is what we should be honing in on, because that's going to light up our darkness more than any light that we could try to do ourselves. When we read his word, it gives us that vital encouragement we need. Now, when I've said this a couple of times, it's been a while since I said this, but when I was a new believer, I was a teenager, and I needed a lot of encouragement, because teenagers need a lot of encouragement, right? So what I would do is I would read my student Bible, I had my Bible, got it out, and I would love to take verses like Psalm 119:105, and I would actually write them out on index cards, and I would tack them to my tack board in my room. And my tack board in my room was, when you first come in my room, it was right there on the left, and you couldn't miss it. So I use that as a lamp and a light for me. I use that to keep the word in my mind. You know, some people like put it in their bathroom, like they tape it to the mirror when they're getting ready in the morning. Or I've known people that they put it on their dashboard of their car, you know, where the speedometer is. Don't cover over the speedometer. Put it next to the speedometer. And they have that there, and it's a reminder, you know. The word is a reminder to us, and that's what I would do for encouragement. Maybe you have something else that you do for encouragement. Maybe you have the Bible on audio, and you're driving all day to work, and you're listening to the words of God. I mean, I don't know. Whatever you need for encouragement, whatever you need to keep that word in you. Israel had it. Every 7 years they get together, and they'd read the word, and they would learn it, and then they would do it. What do you do to read the word, to learn it, and to do it? That's what we need to do. God tells us over and over, be encouraged. But you know what? He gives us scriptures to over and over encourage us. And in Judaism, we're all about reminders, aren't we? We're all about remembering so we don't forget, right? When it comes to the Holocaust, we say, never forget, right? We want to remember, because when people start forgetting, it tends to happen again, right? And we don't want that. We don't want that as believers in Yeshua. We don't want that as Jewish people, you know. And that's why in Israel, whenever it's Holocaust Remembrance Day, what do? They stop everything for a couple of minutes, even people driving on the road, and they have that moment of silence to remember and not forget. You need ways to remember the Lord and his encouraging words to you so that you won't forget. You need to stop every once in a while and read that lamp and that light in your life, because that's the only one that's not going to lead you astray. But it's not enough to hear the word. Adonai wants us to go forward and walk it out. You know, you've heard the phrase, talk the talk and walk the walk, right? We've got to walk the walk. How many times have you known someone that loves to talk the talk to you, but they don't walk the walk so well, right? You don't want to be hypocritical. You want to talk it, but you also need to walk it. So this is the thing. We've got to apply this stuff. We got to take this encouragement and use it. We got to take the words of God and apply it to our lives so that we walk out the walk. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. This is our last Bible verse for the day, but it is a powerful one. The book of Yaakov, right? James 1, 22 through 24. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. You know, as I get older, I'm walking and I'm thinking and I need to do this. and I go into another room and I'm like, what did I need to do? I mean, I just lose it like right then. I lose the whole thing. Have you ever done that? Okay, maybe I'm not the only one. So this happens a lot to me. So I've got to, what I usually do is I just go like this and I go back in the other room and I remember usually, but that's what I do. But, you know, the thing is, when we just hear it and it let it bounce off, we're like that man who looks intently at his face in a mirror and then looks away. Oh, what do I look like again? And forgets. We don't want to be like that spiritually, do we? We want to go take a look and we want to remember and we want to retain. This is what God says. He says, be a doer and not a hearer only. You know, unfortunately, there are many hearers of the word, but there's fewer doers. We want to be hearers and doers. Be a hearer and also be a doer of the word of God, because that will give you the blessing. Israel needed to be a hearer and a doer. What if they were just a hearer on the threshold of going into the promised land? If they were only hearers and not doers, they would look out and see the first Jebusite or whatever and turn around and bolt and get out of there, right? Because I'm sure, look, you've heard of home field advantage, right? There's this thing, home field advantage. Everybody wants home field advantage for the playoffs. Why? Because you're on your own turf. You know what's going on. You know the landscape. There's an advantage, all right? I'm sure that the Jebusites and the Canaanites and all those people had the home field advantage. But you know what? They didn't have God. They didn't have, like, the secret weapon. He's like the Forrest Gump of the team. Like, he's just like going. You can't stop the Lord. That's the thing. You got him on your side. You don't need home field advantage. They needed to know that I've got to be not only a hearer, but a doer. I've got to not be afraid. I've got to put these things into practice in my life. I'm speaking as a child, one of the children of Israel, because when I go in, I don't want to melt with fear. Because remember, you don't have to fight the battle. You just got to show up. Now, in your life today and in my life, God wants us to hear, but also do. God wants you to cross over into that promised land, whatever that is, that new thing that you got going on, or even that old routine. He wants you to go in and not fear. He wants you to go in and not just be a hearer, but be a doer. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? You don't want to go that way. You want to go that way. This is a test, you know? This is a test for us in our lives. God is going to bring these obstacles in your life. He's going to bring these whatever, mountains, you name it. The Bible is full of those. The Bible is full of people getting thrown into dens of lions. The Bible is full of people, you know, going into battle grossly outnumbered. But you know what? You're never outnumbered with the Lord. He is, I mean, David against Goliath. He could have just taken, you know, fear could have just taken root and he could have bolted just like all the others did. But you know what? David was a man after God's own heart because he trusted God and he didn't fear. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go in because God is with me and he's my strength. And he goes before me. David got it. We need to get it today. God wants us to be like the children of Israel. He wants us to be like King David. He wants us to be strong and courageous. He wants us to not fear. He wants us to know that he goes before us. He wants us to know his word and do his word so that we might live long and prosper. I sound like Spock, don't I? We might live long and prosper. He has a life for you and for me, but you're never going to live up to the potential and calling God has for you if you give in to the fear, if you don't take the step forward. Remember, you don't have to worry about where you're going to step because he's a light and a lamp to your feet. You don't ever have to worry about fighting the battle because he's already gone before you. We need to remember that. We need to be encouraged about that today. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you because you're the God who goes into battle even before us. You're the God of encouragement. You're the God that tells us, be strong and courageous. I will not leave you or forsake you. Lord, that's a promise that we can hold on to. Lord, I pray for each and every person here that they would be encouraged today. When the wars and rumors of wars and the craziness of life comes upon us, when, Lord, it's just overwhelming, help us to trust in you. It defies logic, but it is the right thing to do because we know and we can cling to those promises in your word. We can cling to the promises just like Daniel in the lion's den. We can cling to the promises just like David before Goliath. We know that you will take care of us and lead us, and you will never leave us or forsake us, but we just need to be strong and courageous. So, Lord, I pray for strength and courage for us today as we walk out this life, as we tell others about the life that we have in Yeshua, the new life, the transforming life. May we not do it in fear, but in boldness, in loving boldness, sharing what God has done in our life, sharing that you are a lamp and a light, and that we don't have to worry about being the lamp, but that you're the lamp and you're the leader. So, Lord, we ask you to lead us today. Lead us into that promised land. Lead us into battle. Lead us into whatever we're going through, and be our strength and be our shield and be our courage even. We thank you, God. We take hold of this. This Torah portion is an encouragement to us today. Help us to take hold to all that you have, because it is a tree of life. That is life in you, is a tree of life, and leads us always to eternal life in you, Yeshua. We thank you and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord, for our great encourager. Hallelujah.